Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much, Ryan. I appreciate that.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I love what I feel here tonight in the house of God. God's not done working. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it was an honor for Pastor to call me, and I don't care if it was the last minute or in the middle of his message to come up and preach. I'll do it. Amen. Where the Lord said be ready in season and out of season. And you need to be ready on your job. Someone might walk in and need a word, need prayer, and you got to be ready. Amen. Amen. It might not be as good, but we'll fake it till we get it. But amen. I'm just ready for all these Alliance students. I'm waiting for them to just take off at some point. You know, if you feel a little brush of the wind, that Lord just moved. Hey, take off running, and we'll wrap this up, and we'll go on and go home. But no, I believe God's going to do some great things here tonight. I believe everything is ordained of the Lord. The devil has no part of this service here tonight. He can't touch this church, and he can't touch you. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. I love my pastor. I love Sister Neelan. I'm honored to call them pastors, and they're doing a phenomenal job here at TPC. And I give honor to Sister Hennigan in the memory of my first pastor, Brother Gerald David Hennigan. Man, has poured a lot into me, and I find myself still today just saying things that he said, and it's inside of me. And I see a lot of gray hair. There's a lot of things that he's put inside of us, and we can't ever forget. Amen. We can't ever forget. So thank you, Sister Hennigan. Appreciate you. Amen. When I first felt my call to the ministry, I didn't know anything about ministry. The only thing I knew about ministry is a man wore a suit and wore a tie, which I don't have one on tonight. Pray for me, Sister June. Pray for me. But if you're watching online and you think I ought to have a tie, just hold on. Don't turn me off just yet. You know, just hold on. Give the boy a chance. Amen. Give the boy a chance. But anyway, I went to Brother Hing. I said, Brother Hing, I don't know much about ministry. I don't know much about leadership. And he said, well, Ryan, he said, one thing I do know is that leaders are readers. And I said, okay. He said, have you read any books? And I said, well, is that a trick question? You know, I've wrote down in school that I read the books, but right off the bat, I'm going to have to lie, our confession. This ain't going too good. I started grand open, grand closing. And he said, Ryan, leaders are readers. You need to start reading books. And not just the Bible, but things that accentuate the word of the Lord. You need to educate yourself, grow yourself. So I sure will. As a college student, I took my break at Sewell, and I ran over to Books A Million. I just began to walk around and look and just, what do I buy? What do I look? I mean, I was looking at the comics, you know, what? You know, can I tell jokes the whole time? I mean, just, I didn't know. And so finally I seen a book, and it said that, and I was going to bring it tonight, but I just, when we moved back to the, we still got so much stuff in storage, and I started digging through boxes. I couldn't find this. Oh, well, I just try to tell a story. But anyway, but the name of the book was Greatest Speeches Ever Given. Greatest speeches ever. And I picked that up, and man, I started flipping through it, and you know, there was Hitler. He was in there. Martin Luther King was in there. Abraham Lincoln was in there. Just Mother Teresa. Just a lot of great speeches that we've heard in school. We've heard through the time, and Moses was even in there. Just speech after speech. And what I was liking about it, there was more pictures than there was words. And I said, this is my type of book. So I hope this, and if anything, maybe I can rob a speech and kind of make it my own, and I'm on the right track. So I purchased the book, and I'll be honest with you, that's been nearly 18, 19, I never read it. It just looked good. And but the thing that sold me, you know, there's things that that's the selling point. That was it. That was the closer. Where do I sign? That there was one in there. It was called the Sermon on the Mountain. That Jesus Christ, His words, His famous life-breathing words, was recorded. I don't even remember who wrote the book or who compiled this book, but I said, I'm going to buy it. And I actually did read it. But one of the most popular speeches ever given in history was by Jesus Christ. It was on the side of a mountain called the Sermon on the Mountain. And during this speech, Jesus, He addressed what we call the Beatitudes. He addressed a lot of the issues that we face today in this world, maybe in our families, murder, divorce. I hope you don't face murder in your family, but murder, divorce, adultery, revenge. He talked about these things. You know, people don't want to talk about those things today. I'm going to tell you, Jesus to talk about it. And if you'll have a conversation with Jesus, he'll talk to you. I mean, He'll be real with you. And but if you don't want to know, don't talk to Him now. Just keep brushing Him off. But if you want to have a serious conversation with the Lord and you want to get straight, just have a little talk with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Just have a little talk with Him. But He taught on how we should treat our neighbors and even our enemies. He gave instructions on prayer and fasting and even giving to the poor. It was a powerful sermon. Multitudes, the scripture says that multitudes came from all over to hear Jesus teach the word of God. Amen. They came from all to hear. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 said, when Jesus had finished saying these things, when He was wrapping up that Sermon on the Mountain, the Bible says that the crowds were amazed. They were amazed. They were astonished. They were taken back. It said He was one that taught with authority. You know, because they heard a lot of teachings. They've heard a lot of preaching. They've heard a lot of sermonettes. But there's something different about this cat. There's something different about this guy. His words just came alive, and I really began to see where I was at. I began to really see my future. Said that they were amazed at His teachings. Their emotions were affected. For once, the Word of God came alive in these people's lives as they heard Jesus teach. As Jesus spoke, they began to see the areas of their life where they needed a change. I'm going to tell you this morning, after hearing Brother Neelan's message this morning, there was a change, because there's been some areas that I've been doing the bare minimum. Oh, y'all got quiet on me, Brother Neelan. That's right, they get quiet on you quick. Been doing the bare minimum. Brother Aubrey, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes as a husband, I probably do the bare minimum. I don't pick up my shoes. You know, I don't pick up my dishes. Why is this dish? Because you've been leaving them piled up right there. You know, I need to be a second miler husband. I need to help out around there. All the ladies ought to say amen. 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 Boy, that was a good one right there. I'm going to help you out a little bit, guys. Y'all stay with me now. I didn't set you up to fail, but I'm just talking about myself. But I begin to see, they begin to see areas where they in their life where they needed a change. See, part of the process of us changing and becoming more like Jesus is for us to come together as a body, what we're doing tonight, and to hear the Word of God taught or preached. We got to hear the Word of God preached, listening and learning, gathering information. That's why some of you are taking notes. You got your phone out. I hope that's what you're doing, is taking good notes. But you're listening and you're learning. But hearing, hear this, hearing is just part of the process. It's just part of the process. Tell your neighbor, it's just part of the process. It's just part of the process of the change and becoming more like Jesus. Jesus made a very powerful statement right before He concluded His Sermon on the Mountain. And this is what He said. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, who puts them into practice, amen, whoever rolls their sleeves up and say, hey, I'm about to do this, I'm not going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to be a second miler, Jesus. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Whatever it costs, I'm following you. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to as a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, I'm telling you, there's going to come a rain one day. The wind's going to blow one day down your road and into your family, and you're going to make sure that you're built on this rock. But the Bible says, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But he went on to say, but whoever hears these sayings of mine, I think the crowd got quiet then. It got quiet. There's times it gets quiet because he just kind of goes down our aisle. He comes down to our pew. He gets right into our face. Say, hey, I'm talking to you. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain, the same rain, the same flood, the same winds beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. It was a great fall. The NIV version, it's the non-spiritual version, but I read it every now and then just to see what it has to say. I cross over the line and just to, you know, hear what that, and I come back to the King James version to be a little more spiritual. But I like what it says. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. A great crash. Jesus was making a phenomenal point. I believe as he walked around I could just see him. I don't think he probably done this, but if I was there, I think this is what he did. But maybe walking around and saying, talking, he's preaching, he's doing this, he's giving his sermonette, and he looks down there. He said, Matthew, I see you down there taking notes. I appreciate that. Write that down. You're going to need it one day. Mark, I see you down there. Oh, I just got a notification on Twitter. You must have quoted me. Good job. John, I got another. You must be, you're Facebook Live, or you must be live. That's great. Thank you. We want everybody to know about this. I appreciate you taking notes. I appreciate you recording it. But here's the thing. If you just hear my words, but you don't do anything about it, if you just hear these words and you, even if you believe them, even if you hear my words and you take notes and you go back and you teach them, even if you hear my words and you stand up in church and you scream, shout it, preach it, if you do all that, but you don't do anything about it, you hear my words and you don't put it into practice, the Bible says that you're like a foolish man that built his house. There was no foundations, and when the storm came, there is a great crash. You can hear my words, you can memorize it, you can quote it, pray it, even tattoo it on your arm. But if you don't walk away and do something about it, you're like a foolish man. The Word of God came alive that day. And I'm going to tell you what we're blessed with. Every time the man of God steps in this pulpit, I'm telling you, the Word of God comes alive. This morning, you knew where you was walking on the bare minimum. And when we walked out these doors, we should have rolled up our sleeves. We should have made some phone calls and started getting things right. Amen. I got a to-do list this week where I've been doing the bare minimum that I need to work on. It comes a lot. I'm thankful for general conference messages. I'm thankful for just people, you know, preachers who come in here or listen to them on tape or podcast who just, they give the Greek, they give the Hebrew, and man, they just giving all these one-liner quotes. But give me something I can walk away with and I can go and apply to my life. Amen? Give me something. I'm thankful for our pastor that does that week in and week out. That's one of the reasons that we come to church, that we make church a priority. The reason we take notes, the reason we aren't on our phones, the reason we tell our neighbors to quit talking, because I got to get this. I want to avoid a crash in my life. Whatever it is you're talking about, let's talk about that at 12:01 it's about 11:15 when we get out of here on Sunday morning. Man, I just gave you an extra hour. 12:01, just put that to the side, because There's a crash waiting. There's a rain coming. There's a wind coming. There's a storm coming. And I got to hear the word of God because there's a crash coming. If I don't get to hear this word and put it into practice in my life. Some of you know people who've crashed before. They've crashed their marriages. They've crashed at raising their kids. They crashed their jobs. They crashed their reputation. When their name is mentioned, it just automatically, it gets negative. It's the crash. It's that great crash that stuck to their name. We all know someone that if they just would have practiced what they heard, taught from the word of God, they would have avoided that crash in their life. If they just would have put it into practice. When I'm working with the young person during maybe a tough season of their life, and you know, maybe they made a bad decision and people are picking on them at school. They just, you know, now they feel like I'm depressed or I'm going through a tough time because I've done X, Y, and Z, and everyone's blasting me and calling me this and hashtagging me this. And I tell them, listen, here's one of the great things about your age. That you're in what I call a pre-crash stage. And it's not because you're smarter than everybody. God knows that. You're not smart. Maybe when it comes to technology, yes. You know, they'll lock your phone up in a heartbeat, but change your passcode and you didn't even know it. But it's not because you're smart, it's just because you haven't lived long enough. You're not smarter, you haven't lived long enough, but because you haven't experienced enough crashes, and you haven't lived long enough to crash your marriage. You haven't lived long enough at crash at raising kids. You haven't lived long enough to crash at finances on jobs or your reputation, because you still have time, Elias, that if you do something wrong, you still have time to turn it around. Amen? You still have time. That's why you listen to some of these older people. And listen, rub shoulders with some of these gray hairs here. That's wisdom. They know what they're talking about. They can give you so much advice that you can just avoid all the crashes in your life. If you see a crash or a bridge, why wouldn't you take the detour? Go around it. A fool would keep on, just hit the gas pedal and just keep on going forward. I want to avoid some crashes in my life. Amen. Jesus is saying that when the storm comes, when the wind blows, when the rain pours and the flood water rises, when it does, because it's coming, if you have practiced my teachings, you will still be standing after the storm. And I haven't given my title yet. I guess I'm preaching now. But hearing and doing is what makes the difference. We'll say that again. Hearing and doing is what makes the difference. Hearing and doing is where change begins. You want to change in your life? Start putting the word of God into practice. It might be tough at times. Matter of fact, it may be tough to pick up that phone and call someone that has offended you. Maybe they don't even know it. Or someone that you've offended. You know it. I'm so sorry. I was wrong. Listen, I don't care. Yes. That's tough. It's tough to turn that cheek when he talks to me. Can I tell you, I don't want to turn a cheek. I'm looking for a crowbar. I'm looking for Facebook where I can call them out, say something. I get bold on Facebook. That's the reason I got off of it several months ago. Amen? Some of the boldest people are on Facebook. And some of the most ignorant people are too. Brother Nathan, you can clean all this up when I'm done. He can't do it tonight. He can't talk. Amen. He can gargle some salt water or something like that. He's good. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Talking about where change begins. See, right now, I could wrap this all up. Because right now, the Word of God has already come alive in your life, and you're already seeing areas. It's not the boss's fault. It's not the co-worker's fault. Amen. It's not your spouse's fault. You've contributed. You've got a part. I need to do my part. It's quit. We're not going to have the Adam and the Eve syndrome where we're pointing fingers. I'm a man and woman up and say, if I would have done my part. I realized a long time ago that if I'll do my part, if I'll do what God told me to do, He'll take care of it all. He'll take care of it. God, you've got me into this. You're going to see me through. Amen. I want to do my part. And you know, when we go to pray and ask God, help me in this area, you know what He's going to do? I've already given you the answer. It's there. Why are you praying for another answer? Because plan A works. I don't need a plan B. James, the brother of Jesus, was there that day in the crowd when Jesus preached this life-changing message. He was there. Hey, look at my old brother. Look at him. Go ahead. Mom will be proud. His message, Jesus' message, affected him. It pricked him. The Word of God come alive. He began to see colors, began to hear the birds, began to smell the flowers. It come alive. I know what I need to do. There was a paradigm shift. I've got a hold of some. Now I know. It changed the way he did life. It affected him so much that many years later, when James became the pastor of a church, he commanded his congregation. It's recorded in James chapter 1, verse 22. This is what he told his congregation. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, I hate it when someone lies to me. I couldn't make it in politics. I just couldn't. I'm not a liar. I don't like people lying to me. I'll hold on to that a little longer, man. I just don't trust you. I got you marked. But I lie to myself. I deceive myself. I manipulate myself. I'm such a fool when I lie to myself. You know how? That's what he's saying, that when you know what to do and you don't put it into practice, you are deceiving yourself. We have a tendency when we are at church to sing some great anointed songs like we've done. I don't think we've ever had a bad set a song. If we dare, I wouldn't hear. I didn't know it. And we hear sing a bunch of great songs and we listen to a life-changing message. It's possible that we can get emotional and fall under conviction, but leave believing that we made spiritual progress. We believe that we got closer to God because we felt bad, because we felt convicted. Because we feel like God came down our aisle and we heard a word that just made me feel bad. And maybe someone says, how was service tonight? Man, it was great. I cried. I got teared. Man, I went through half a box of Kleenexes. I mean, it was just phenomenal. Everybody was just crying and weeping. Man, everybody just felt bad. What you going to do about it? Well, nothing. I mean, I felt closer to God because I felt bad. Because I cried. Because I felt convicted. There's a reason you're supposed to feel convicted. It's just to draw you in. It's supposed to draw you to an altar where you kneel down and you repent before the Lord. You lay something down. See, part of the altar is not just here, but it's just the beginning. It's to get up and go out there and to make a difference. And that's what God is saying. When you're not just a hearer, but a doer. You're putting this word into practice. And I tell you, it is tough at times. It is hard at times. But that is when the life of abundance begins to pour out upon you. That's whenever we're not just hearers, but we're doers. That's when the blessings of God and the favor of God falls on you on your job, when it falls into your marriage, when it falls into your kids. It's when you're a hearer and a doer. It's when you're trusting and you're believing. See, it's not trust if you just know what to do, but you don't do it. Amen? See, old James was tearing into them. He was telling them, he was screaming at them, please don't leave service believing that you have made some spiritual progress because you heard something or felt something. Do what Jesus says. Put it into practice. Put it in, do something about it. Hearing and doing is what makes the difference. It's where change begins. It's where change begins. But just like Jesus painted that beautiful picture about building a house upon the rock or upon the sand, James goes on, he paints a beautiful picture also of hearing and doing. James chapter 1, verse 23, he says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away. See, he looks at himself, or she looks at herself, sees her hair, sees her face, sees her pores, sees her, you know, sees everything. You know, just looking at it all, just observes. But goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man or woman she or he was. James is saying that after being a hearer only, it's like coming to church and seeing the areas of our life that we need change, some unhealthy relationships, some bad habits, some sour attitude, that some things that maybe we need to tell our spouses, people that we need to forgive. We see these areas. We admit that there is a problem. We feel convicted about it, but we leave and do nothing about it. I'm talking to myself. I mean, this is my life message. This is every day. This is every single day. He talked about getting a birth certificate, Acts 2:38. That's where the beginning. You don't get a diploma, you get a birth certificate. This is every day right here. You want to know how you ought to live? This is it right here. I'm helping you here today. Be a doer of the word. Regardless of what the season is, be a doer. What does the word of the Lord say about it? Well, by God, that's what we're going to do. Husband and wives, you got to make a decision. What do we need to do? Well, what's the word of the Lord say about it? Well, that's what we're going to do. Well, what are so-and-so going to think? I don't care what they think about. God can move them out or God can change them. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is what we are going to do. Just make your mind up. And you know what happens? God goes before you. He's behind you. He's to your left and to your right. And he's making a way. He's sending favor. He's sending blessings. He's sending many people to the city. God is for you. Hallelujah. I'm wrapping this all up. Come on. Come on, band. Come on, band. Is that what we call it here, a band? Praise singers? Quartet? Choir? Tube, just come on, bring it. Make it sound, make me sound good. But James is saying, like, it's just like you hear and see who you are in church and you walking out and doing nothing about it. It's just like waking up in the morning and looking in the mirror and noticing that crazy hair. This is where I'm talking to the guys now. I'm not talking to the ladies. You notice that? No, I'm joking. That crazy bed hair. Maybe that you get a whiff of that bad killer dragon breath. I mean, it's you wrinkled clothes. Just it's the I just want to. I mean, it is what it is. But all the crust in your eyes and you just you know don't nobody get sick or nothing. But you know pimples. I mean, I just want to be real. As Brother Hing says, this still area code 337. You know, I'm down to earth. But we see all that stuff. We look, I can't go to leave the house looking like that. Clothes are all ruined, haven't ironed them yet. Got, you need to steam them. But you know what we'll do? You wouldn't dare walk out the door looking like that. Now, unless you're a junior hire, you would. Shirt inside out, collar all stuck up, mismatched, and no deodorant on. You know how, Molly, you know how long y'all stand in front of the mirror? I know how long you stand in front of the mirror. I know how long you stand in front of the mirror. I know how long you, this June, I know how long you stand in front of the mirror. If you noticed all that, you stay in front of the mirror to what it is that you don't, you see that you don't like until it gets better. I ain't leaving the house looking like that. I'm not, there's a change that needs to happen. I don't care if I'm late for work. I don't care if I'm late for church. God forgive me for saying that, but it doesn't matter because I don't like what I see. And I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make some adjustments until I can look into that mirror and I can see myself. And I say, okay, I've done what I needed to do. Now it's okay to leave. That's how long you stay in front of that mirror. But you know what just blows my mind? I blow my mind. Is I'll come here and the word of God is going forward. Or even I'll be praying in my own house. And I'm saying, God, search me. Show me those deep things in my heart. Show me those things I don't even know about, God. Let them come to the surface, Lord. Expose them to me, God. You know who I am. You created me. You know my weaknesses, God. You know what I'm going to face today. You know how I'll respond. Help me, oh God. Show me. And God will show me. Or God will show me here in the house of God. And I'm guilty of getting up, crying, wiping, asking God for forgiveness, and going out these doors. I changed the way I look. Oh, that shirt, I got some. Oh, we ain't leave, baby. Just hold on. Or go on, go without me. I'll come to church. I'm going to make sure I look good on the outside. But you know, we got to be, that's so much more important on the inside. Your greatest regrets will have nothing. Hear me on this. Our greatest regrets will have nothing to do with the things we weren't willing to fix on the outside. They won't be. They won't be. But our greatest regrets will come from the things that we weren't willing to fix on the inside. Just let that sit. Things that you're battling with today, whether it's been a day, a week, a month, or years, it ain't nothing. It's not on the outside. There's a phone call someone right now you've got to make. There's some forgiveness that needs to take place. There's some things that need to be laid down. I just want to be a doer of the word. I've been around long enough. Some of you have been around longer, but this word, it works. It works. And I want my boy to know that it works. That one day, maybe he's about to be three, but in 15 years, that might be all I have with him. He may decide to graduate, go to college somewhere and never find a girl, find a job and never come home. But I only got about 15 more years to put it into him. And I hope that I've put it into him, that I've raised him around this altar enough. I've seen him on youth retreats. I brought him down to the campgrounds, and I've taught him how to get into the altar. I've taught him how to hear from God. I've taught him how to get in this word and see. And maybe one day when he's in his dorm room, his freshman year, and there's a situation, he has a choice to make. When he knows, he says, I've watched daddy, I've watched mom, I've watched pastor, I've watched the Sunday school teachers. What does the word of God say about it? I'm not just living for myself. This is the greatest thing that we can pass on. It's being not just a hearer of this word, but a doer of it. Hearing and doing is what makes a difference. Our greatest regrets will come from the things that we were not willing to fix on the inside. The heart issues, stand to your feet. The character issues, the attitude issues, the relationship issues, forgiveness. These are the things that cause us to crash when the storms of life come. Hearing and doing is where change begins. We all want to be great. We all want greatness tied to our name. Jesus' disciples got into an argument about who was going to be the greatest. That's what they were arguing about. We all want it. I want something good said about my life. I want to leave a legacy. We all want to be remembered as doing something phenomenal, making a difference. But what is tragic for some is that the only thing great remembered about them will be their fall, because they were a hearer and not a doer. Amen. I want to know if there's anyone here tonight that just wants to recommit to God. That God, I'm going to recommit a change. I want to be not just a hearer of the word, but I want to be a doer. I want to change my response. God, the word of the Lord has come alive tonight. I see what I need to do, God. And tonight I'm going to put things into practice, God. Don't give up on us, God. Greater things are still ahead for us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, God, for your truth, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you speak to us, God, on a corporate level, Lord, but you also speak to us, God, individually in our homes, in our cars, God. But, Lord, we don't want to just hear from you, God, but we want to put into practice those life words that you are speaking to us, those life-changing words. Come on, somebody. Come on, husbands. Come on, wives. Come on, dads. Come on, moms.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.